We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, Rudder Grinders? Dean here at Dean 7904 if you want to get all technical on me. It is 5:01 on the East Coast, 2:01 on the West Coast, 4:01 Tennessee time, which of course, it's time for the flagship show here at Rudder Grinders. It's called Grinders Live. It's sponsored by Fantasy Draft. And joining me today, fresh off his nap, fresh off an 11-hour day at Disney, it's one Stevie TPFL. What's up, Stevie?
Nap indeed. Are you mad that the 9 got skipped because it's in your name? is that why you like pointed out the 9 got skipped? Because you didn't point out the 10 got skipped. You pointed out the 9 got skipped.
I was very upset. Yeah, I don't think they hear the countdown pre-show, but yeah, so D-Train, our fabulous multitasking producer, he normally counts us down, and for some reason just 9 didn't happen. He said 8, and that was, it threw me off. And 7, 7, 7, I suppose you could say. But I was definitely rattled for a second, but we made it work. We made it happen, I suppose. How about
we're your always on point?
Yeah. You said you went to Disney for 11 hours yesterday, which seems like that's Dad of the Year trophy award in my book. Congratulations to you. But you know, I guess you have the season pass, right? You live right by there.
Yeah, and we did a daughter daddy day, so there was me and my buddy and his daughter and my daughter are the same age, so it was fun. We did a lot of rides. I don't think I've ever done so many rides at Magic Kingdom before. He's like a
yeah
genius. Like, We fast pass like Mine Train, Splash Mountain twice, like Thunder Mountain twice, Base Mountain. Like, it was just insane. He was really on the one and ones when it came to fast passing.
Favorite ride at Disney?
My favorite ride is probably Splash Mountain. But it has to be at night. Like, when you go down the big drop at Splash Mountain and at nighttime the castle is all lit up, like, you can't buy the view of that. So that's my jam.
Least favorite?
Probably Space Mountain.
Oh, I got teacups. I don't like the teacups. Makes me dizzy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Space Mountain, I don't like Space Mountain because I'm super tall. So, like, I always feel like my head's going to get chopped off. If you've ever been on that ride, you know what I'm talking about.
Don't stand up. You're in the dark, and apparently there are bars that aren't too far away. So, like, it's not advisable to stand up on Space Mountain.
Have you ever seen it with the lights on?
No, I don't believe so.
There's YouTube videos and stuff. Like, if you've seen it with your lights on, yeah, it's awful. It makes it worse, like, when you actually go back and ride it again.
We got a 9-game slate today, Steve. At least as of right now, we have a 9-game slate. There is weather pending in multiple areas. Of course, you know, we're going to need Roth today more so than most days. Going to go ahead and drop the link in chat as far as this weather report. Now, this was earlier today. This is this morning. Obviously, the weather is fluid. Things change. He hasn't updated. He normally updates it around, like, you know, 5:30 or so on the East Coast. And then, obviously, he's on crunch time as well. If you guys are premium members, he'll be on crunch time with Cardi and JSU. He'll give you the most up-to-date as far as what's going down weather-wise. But if you take a peek at that, Stevie, 9-gamer tonight, but, you know, dicey tonight, and at least, you know, East Coast, basically. Baltimore, Yankees, Boston. There is some weather lurking. We're not weathermen. We don't play anyone on TV or the interwebs or anywhere. At least I don't. I can't speak for you, but I'm somewhat concerned, but I suppose we just sort of talk about the slate as if everything's going to go, and we wait to see what Roth has to say, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy night for weather. Crunch time is going to be very important today.
Yes, definitely going to want to tune into that. If you guys are not premium members, here's a way you can get yourself a free month of premium and watch Crunch Time amongst all the other perks. You get the lineup HQ, Cheese and Million Dollar Musings, expert rankings, Crunch Time we talked about, the ownership percentage, the premium podcast, Slate IQ, the expert survey, and much, much more. You can win yourself 1 month free if you just rock the Roto Grinders avatar. And if you finish in the top 10 of certain designated contests, you get 1 month of RG premium. And these are some people that have signed up as of yesterday. We want to give a little shout out. Welcome to rocking the old RG badge. We got Touchdown Tommy 07. We got a Heine 1. I'm not sure if I'm not pronouncing that one correctly, but welcome, either way. Tone It. And then we got Brandon O Sports and then R Siller. So welcome to rocking the old Roto Grinders badge again. Devin's going to go ahead and drop a link in the chat for you guys to get more information on that. Of course, that's in the Roto Grinders chat. It's also in the YouTube chat. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, feel free to like and subscribe. Also, it's the midway point as far as what's going down for baseball. It's the midway point for golf. So discounted prices for season-long content here, premium content at RG. If you guys are playing the old golf thing, 1 o'clock in the morning is locked for the British Open. So if you guys want golf content for one site, it's $89.99. For combo sites, it's just under 100 smackers, $99.99. It would make sense to go combo, I think. As for baseball, it's $84.99. And as far as the combination platter for baseball, also $99.99. Stevie, I think that's all we have as far as promos. Ready to sort of dive in and talk about this 9-gamer?
Yeah, in like 2 seconds, I'll be ready to go. Ryan Zimmerman's not in the lineup, so I'm switching my expert survey answer for something. But yeah, I'm ready to go. I was just messing.
Look at you on the fly. You had Ryan Zimmerman as your cheapie. You could just swap him in for Matt Adams, right?
I had him as my contrarian play. I'm switching it to Hunter Dozier. There you guys go. Free info.
You know, we do the screen share later on in the show, give a little premium peek as far as, you know, some of the premium content here. Maybe we'll show the entire expert survey, at least a good chunk of it. Are you good with that?
Yeah. Me, right. Big T, and Meansy, you know, hottest player on the planet right now, Big T.
Big T is coming at me on Twitter, man. He's taking victory laps for Jason Vargas. He's only given up 12 earned runs in the last 16 innings.
Hey, I'll take the 16 that I got from Vargas on the early slate.
But yeah, that's fine. But, like, you know,
victory lapping needed there. That's fine. Like,
5 homers in like his last 16 innings and 12 earned runs, 2 of which to the Marlins in Marlins Stadium. egregious. And I don't know if Big T's lurking or not, but he just called me out on the old Twitter machine for no particular reason. But there you go. Rattled the cage, because we've had a conversation about Vargas, you know, regression monster coming. And I think you're actually on the side of that. You're anti-Vargas, aren't you?
I'm not a huge Vargas fan. I think that he's not a bad real-life pitcher, but he has some massive regression coming.
There you go. Yeah, he's been lucky with the whole conversation, and he's actually been bad of late as far as the stats, and literally regression is happening. Whatever. Well, let's talk about tonight's slate. Look, this is Daily Fantasy Sports. All we care about is tonight, not even this afternoon. We don't care about this afternoon. It's already done. That doesn't matter. Well, it's still playing out, but you know what I mean. That's already kind of locked and loaded as far as your selections. Give me the screenshot. What's our take as far as tonight's slate? Because I feel pretty good about it, with the exception of, like, I don't know what's going to happen as far as the weather. So, again, we definitely need Roth, but I feel like I have a pretty good read on tonight's slate. What do you say? How are we attacking it?
Yeah, there's a lot of good options at the top. You know, Cole's in a good spot. Paddock's in a really good spot. You know, I really like Robbie Ray. You know, Clevinger is in a really great spot. It's more of just figuring out what you want to do with your SP2, your mid-tier options, your cheaper options. There's not really a lot of answers to that. So I guess we could kind of, you know, start at the top, right? Like, do we want to, you want to start with Gerrit Cole? And, like, is he worth this price tag going up against the Angels?
On a different slate, maybe. Like, yesterday, for sure. But today, my answer is no, because we have great step downs. Like, yesterday, the pitching was whatever. Well, yesterday we had some okay options, I suppose. It wasn't beautiful for a full 15-gamer. But you said Cole's in a great spot, and I would disagree. We don't know what the deal with Trout is.
I don't think Trout's going to play, so that's okay. Why I'm saying I think it's a much better spot. Lineup's much worse with Trout not in it and with Trout out of it. So I'm assuming that Trout's not going to be in the lineup.
Okay, yeah. So that's we don't know yet, but that definitely changes things, obviously. If Trout is in – obviously that would it's like tick as far as Cole. And again, we'll talk about the step downs. I think the step downs are so good. I don't think I need Cole. Of course, if you're MMEing, absolutely put him in the conversation, especially if things like get funky as far as weather, as far as rainouts, and then if the slate gets condensed to some degree. But it's the same old deal with the Angels, though, is they just don't strike out a ton. Obviously, Cole, the K numbers are awesome on the season. We're talking about, 37.4%. He's at a home run issue to some degree, yielding, 1.5 homers per nine in the season, which is not necessarily ideal, but you'll deal with that when he's striking out 37.4% of dudes. And we don't really know what the story is as far as Trout. He's been a little unlucky as far as homing the fly ball, over 20%, so he should see some positive regression in that case. Like, he's actually got a Sierra, a half run under his ERA, which is 3.23. His Sierra is 2.86. His xFIP is 2.62. But I don't think I need Cole. Like, I don't think this doesn't feel like an elite spot for him. Like, he should be fine. I'm not trying to deter you from him. I just don't think he's necessary.
I would not talk anybody off of Gerrit Cole today. I am with you. I'm probably not going to play him. $2,600, the difference between Clevinger and Cole, goes a long way at your SP2, not even just your bats. It goes a long way with your SP2. Like, we don't have that guy at 5K today or, you know, 6K. Like, we do have Richards, who we'll talk about, at 7,300. I feel like going to be pretty popular SP2 today, but there's not that guy that's like that punt to make Gerrit Cole easier to play. So I like Cole. I'm not going to talk anybody off of Cole, but I feel like if you want to go down to Paddock or Clevinger or Ray, I'm perfectly fine with that. And, you know, looking at, you know, Paddock, who's next, you know, kind of in the next price range, like, he's in a great spot. You know, we don't have to be concerned about weather. It's in Miami. There's a roof. He's facing a Miami Marlins team that's one of the worst teams in baseball against right-handed pitching. They spoil pitchers all the time. Like Logan Allen yesterday, it happens. The variance of the Miami Marlins, I guess is the easiest way to say it. But, you know, I think that going down from Cole makes a ton of sense, whether it be Paddock, Clevinger, or Ray.
All right. So, well, let's talk about Paddock first. He's got to be the tricky part with Paddock. By the way, revenge game. Of course, the Marlins traded Fernando Rodney for Paddock. Good job, Marlins. Got to get that one in. Congratulations on that effort. Is this his first time facing the Marlins? I'm not sure if he's facing this year or not. I guess that's something we can check out. But it doesn't matter. Like you said, the Marlins are terrible. They strike out more versus righties as they do against lefties. Paddock's got a good split too as far as his K's. You fire up the plate IQ here. As I'm pulling up right now, for some reason my internet just not cooperating with me. Here we go. It's coming up any second now. We're stalling. We're just saying words now, Stevie. All right. So 26.7% as far as his K percentage this season. Look at the old splits. And, of course, this is his only year that he made his debut this year. 32.7% Ks against righties, 21% against lefties. Count up the lefties in that Marlins lineup. It's Walker, it's Granderson, and that's it. So it's a pile of righties that have no power, that they are just bad hitters, like you said, outside of, like, Cooper, who's okay, Anderson, who's okay. But both these guys are subpar at best, collectively a 21% K percent, which is not exactly, popping. But again, we talk about the extreme splits for Paddock so far in his career. The tricky part, the issue with him is he doesn't go deep in the games. He's probably going to go six at best. He's got to be efficient. He might go five and change depending on young dude. They've been babying him. They even sat him down in the minors. San Diego's not necessarily thinking about today. They're thinking about potentially the playoffs or even the next couple of years down the road with one of the best minor league systems in all of baseball. How far do you think he can go? Like, how deep can Paddock go today? It's kind of the question for me.
I think that's the question for everybody, right? We have not seen him touch 100 plus pitches yet this season. I think the most he's thrown was 96, 97. 97 pitches.
Out, right? Is that what it was the last few times out, I think? 96 and 97?
Yeah. I'm guessing probably six innings, if I had to guess. If he's rolling and the pitch counts down, maybe seven innings. But he's not getting the leash that, Robbie Ray's getting. He's not getting the leash that Clevinger's getting. I know Clevinger, the most he's thrown this season is 106, and it's been, only 92 since he's come back. But Terry Francona is a guy that will let his pitchers go if they're pitching well. So if Clevinger's pitching well in this game, I think he, can go 100 plus. But I honestly, when we're looking at just pitch count, we're looking at a guy in Robbie Ray who's gone over 100 pitches multiple times here. So, I think the longest leash out of these guys is probably Robbie Ray.
All right. You know what? Go ahead and talk about Robbie Ray, because I know he's somebody you wanted to highlight, and I think he's an awesome tournament play today, and I imagine you do as well. So tell me why he's a great tournament play today, despite the fact he's pitching in Texas.
Clevinger should be your cash game play. Let me just start with that. Like, if you're playing cash games today, Clevinger should be your SP1. But if you're playing tournaments and, you're looking to get off of Clevinger, I don't think Clevinger's a bad play. I just said that you should play him in cash. I think you should play him in tournaments too. So I don't think Clevinger's bad. Robbie Ray's in a great spot. Like, I played Alex Young yesterday, a lefty against Texas. This team just strikes out so many times against left-handed pitching that they have five guys with strikeout rates over 26% in the starting lineup. One of the power bats that you're kind of worried about is Joey Gallo. He's not in the lineup. Yes, he's a guy that adds strikeouts, but he's one of the guys that had the ISO over 200. Like, they put DeShields in there instead of Gallo today. DeShields is a guy with a 26.8% K rate, still has a decent ISO, hits the ball on the ground a lot, and that's what you see a lot with this team. So you get ground balls, you get strikeouts, and you get some lefties. So I think that a team that doesn't walk a lot against Robbie Ray, that strikes out a lot, is always like recipe for Robbie Ray having a good game. But he is Robbie Ray, and he always frustrates us.
It's interesting you talk about the Gallo situation, because that's somebody who wants to I want to roster at least one share of Ray in tournaments. I don't make a ton of lineups, so I think I got to have at least one share just in case. Like you said, how much this team strikes out. 25.2% collectively. Santana 34%, Odor 34% this season, Chu at 28%, DeShields at 26%. I want a Gallo to be in the lineup, Ricky Bobby style, first or last. Obviously, Gallo's got plenty of pop, and he's taking lefties up, yard, but he's got like a 40% K rate, even more so possibly, somewhere in that area. So I was slightly bummed that he wasn't in there. Like, you want him in there or you don't? Obviously, he's not, and you're not going to not roster Ray because Gallo's not in there. But I was kind of hoping that Gallo will make an appearance.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded him to be in there either. Like, honestly, the lineup came out, it wasn't going to change my – they're just so bad against lefties. Like, unless they sat down a bunch of guys today and, it was just a really random lineup, but then you probably would have played it anyway.
And, you know, we kind of talked about his name a couple of times now. You said he's a cash game play, and especially, like, depending on, you know, fantasy draft on DK where he's priced. Clevinger seems too cheap. Like, since coming back from, you know, his injury, he threw, what, 70-ish pitches. Then he went to – he threw 79 pitches, and last time out he went to 92. So I assume the pitch count is not a concern now. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets to 100 or so. And you talk about Francona historically, we'll let his pitchers go. And, again, we have a small sample as far as this season with Clevinger, but he's got a bigger K rate than Gerrit Cole, like 39.7%. That is a small sample. Swing and strike rate is justified as well, too, at 16.4%. Not yielding many homers. He's been legit. 29% hard hit rate, which is awesome as well. And he's facing, I guess I kind of buried the lead, he's facing a Tiger team that's, you know, pretty dreadful. Not a lot of power. Plenty of Ks. The unfortunate thing here, to some degree, is the Ks are kind of backloaded. But if you think he goes through this lineup three times, it doesn't really matter when these guys hit. You know, 24.8% collectively as far as striking out. And a lot of the Ks are at the end. Top of the lineup is more contact heavy with Cabrera, Castro, and Reyes. But Clevinger just feels like just such a strong play today. And I've not taken a peek as far as ownership, but I would imagine he's probably the highest projected owner pitcher, right?
I haven't looked either, but I would guess so.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't end up being the highest owned pitcher today.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought process as well. And then, you know, we talked about Paddock, but on the other side of that game, look, San Diego, they will strike out plenty. They're in a ballpark that subdues power. And Richards seems a tick too cheap. And as of right now, my shell lineup is, you know, for cash, is Clevinger and Richards. Do you trust Richards as an SP2 today?
Really quick on the whole Clevinger thing, his velocity is up this season, and he throws a slider. You know, whenever you're facing a very right-handed heavy team, which, you know, Detroit has got a lot of lefties in there today, his slider is going to be very dominant in those situations. But the elevated fastball helps against the Detroit team that struggles with that. So as far as Trevor Richards go, do I trust him? No. Am I going to play him? Yes. I trust the ballpark. You know, we look at, you know, what he does. He's a guy that gives up a ton of fly balls and a ton of hard contact. So any other ballpark outside of maybe two or three ballparks in baseball, this is a spot we probably are talking about maybe potentially stacking the Padres. So I think that with this game being played in Miami, with this team striking out so much against right-handed pitching, with him having strikeout stuff, you know, we look at his strikeout rate against righties, it's 23%. Like, is there upside here? Yes. Is there downside here? Yes. Is there safety? No. but when we're looking at all the options in this price range, you could say that about all these guys. Like, it's just one of those things that who could you really trust down here? Are you going to trust Kenta Maeda going up against Philly? Like, no. Are you going to trust like Maeda going up against Philly, Turnbull?
No. You know,
Pena is a guy that I played last time out, and he had a monster game against Seattle. He's not the worst option at 6,700 for tournaments, but, like, outside of Pena and, you know, Richards, like, you know, Duffy's getting the White Sox, but I like the right-handed pitching against the White Sox more. Right. I like left-handed pitching. Like, there's just not a lot down here. So, you know, that's why I'm ending up on Richards as well. I was playing around, and if the Dodgers game gets rained out, depending on the weather, if the Dodgers game gets rained out, I might end up playing Robbie Ray and Clevinger together, because I think that the reason that I'm paying up today at bats is because of the Dodgers.
Do you think Washington plays?
I do.
You just right? thought, was I Washington,
guess what, was Washington one of the games that had rain issues? Yeah, I guess it was another one of those games, but some of the Washington bats, you can get really good exposure to that game with some cheap bats.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Washington side. We'll talk about the sticks soon enough, obviously. You talk about Duffy, you know, maybe people are just chasing any pitcher, you know, after Sparpin just went nuts last night, you know, against.
Shout out to Grant. Grant called that yesterday.
Yeah, well, we had the conversation about Sparpin. And
I told him he was crazy.
I actually rostered him in a couple of lineups, and I think it was my two best lineups with the sport. He just went. I think he was a top pitcher in the slate. He might have been. It was
by yeah. 10 points. Yeah.
Yeah. And the you know, and I think he was like 10 or 15% owner or something like that. Which, you know, it sounds about right. And by the way, in the same vein as Sparkman, don't expect the same results. But I don't hate Chavez at basically the minimum as well today versus Arizona. I know they're grabbing a DH, but it's not a particularly great lineup. And this Arizona lineup kind of, I don't know. I think they overachieved at the start of the season. We thought Arizona was legit. And, you know, this is a team that basically was punting this season, and they were playing above their heads, kind of like Seattle was. I don't think his Arizona lineup is particularly great. It's fine. But and Chavez is not horrendous. Again, not rousing endorsements here, but sort of in the same vein, if you want to load up on bats, I think Chavez can get you like 12 points. Like, he can get you negative two, but I've not fired up the bat for Cardi, but I'd imagine like the median for Chavez today is like 11, maybe 12. You have any interest in Chavez? I guess if you want to really load up on some bats today.
Sure.
All right.
Like if you're going to load up on bats, like, you know, you don't have a ton of options. Like, I'm not playing Ivan Nova. I'm not playing Aaron Sanchez. I'm not playing Aaron Brooks. I'm not playing Pivetta. I'm not playing Fed.
Like, yes.
If I'm going down from Pena, I will go down to Chavez, sure.
Yeah, that's where I'm at as well, too. For what it's worth, Brooks is like supposed to throw like 40 to 50 pitches. Like, he's not even fully stretched out, and he's also facing Washington. There's also some weather there, and he's also not very good. But besides
that, might help him. He might score less points or more points with only throwing 40 to 50 pitches.
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean, there's like seven different reasons why you don't want to roster him today. Erod's kind of interesting, but then he's kind of in, you know, the mix of like, you know, the Ray and the Clevenger. You know, but the problem is, of course, weather is out there lurking. If you get the all clear, if it's somehow good in Boston, for some, is he in the conversation for you,
Erod?
Yeah,
yeah. The only thing is, like, Roth tweeted out right before we got started that like there's a really good chance that it's going to be a late start. And it's going to have to be a long delay for them to get that game in. I think that affects the pitcher more than it affects anybody else. So I could see not playing Erod just because he's so close to Clevenger and Price. And I do like I've talked about, I like the pivot off of Clevenger to Ray. So, you know, I'm perfectly okay with not having to try to go there today.
Chavez, like, median, like, his like average projection today is 9 points for what it's worth, which isn't dreadful. That wouldn't crush you. But today it just feels like a bigger opportunity cost for pitchers than it did yesterday when we, you know, rolled out Sparkman to some degree. It just feels like there's going to be pitchers throwing up some bigger numbers. And also, by the way, another reason why not to like the Cole necessarily, he's got a hitter's umpire. You got a pitcher's umpire in Miami for what it's worth. That kind of moves the needle to some degree. But that's just one more little tick in the box against Cole. Obviously, the biggest issue for me is like the lack of K potential. Well, I wouldn't say that because it's Cole and he can strike anybody out, but it's the price. And the step downs are so good, like we talked about, like Paddock to some degree. The Clevenger price and matchup seems awesome. And, you know, I was talking about pairing Clevenger with Richards, and you're getting two guys in positive pitching environments. Well, Cleveland depends upon lefties, righties. But, you know, well, the righties, it's not that great. It's better for lefties there in Cleveland. But basically two matchups with the opponents that strike out the most. So at a pretty cheap price, that's kind of sort of where I'm at as far as my cash games. That may change pending weather, pending, you know, just sort of a last-second scrambling. Anything else that's worth note here as far as pitchers that we should follow up on, or you want to just summarize it? We'll move on.
Yeah, I don't think really anything else. We really didn't mention Domingo Germán. He's always a guy that has upside. He's going to be pretty low owned, like just kind of looking over here at the projected ownership. He's pushing under 5% compared to all these other guys in this range. So if you're just looking to, you know, look for some guy, a guy that has 20 plus point upside for lower ownership, like he's certainly a guy that can do that. So, you know, to sum it up, Gerrit Cole is fine. He's just really expensive. Going down to Paddock is okay. We both like Clevenger on the safer end. We like Robbie Ray for tournaments. And then the cheap guys, it's a mess. It's Trevor Richards. It's Danny Duffy. It's going all the way down to Jesse Chavez and just loading up on bets.
Yeah, I don't mind Germán either. And I think he's interesting for tournaments as well. But, like, the first argument against him is that Clevenger is cheaper and better. Like, that's the problem. And, of course, baseball one-game sample size is anything can happen. If you want to play the ownership game, I don't mind it. You know, good bullpen there for the Yankees. So I don't know how deep they'll necessarily let him go. If you look at his pitch counts of late, 78, 80, 92, 87, not particularly ideal. Even when he was cruising, he only threw 78 pitches there against Toronto. All right, let's talk about some hitters. Let's talk about some catchers specifically. We go around the horn. Before we do that, give me one or two core hitters that you are building your lineups around today?
Dodgers. If this game's good, I'm just as many Dodgers bats as I can. I love the Dodgers here. Pivetta has been terrible. Pivetta dominated the Dodgers earlier this season, right when he got called back up from AAA, but he's really fell off the wagon again. He's just been terrible. This ballpark is great for left-handed power. If you think back when this ballpark was Ryan Howard, hit so many home runs here, and like they kind of built the ballpark for him and all that good stuff. But this is just one of those things where this ballpark is great for left-handed power. There's a ton of left-handed power on the Dodgers, like Bellinger, Jock Peterson, all these guys, Max Muncy. Like when we start going position by position, the Dodgers guys are the first guys I'm going to mention. So I love the Dodgers here.
Pivetta gives up multiple homers and so many starts as well. As far as the homers per nine, it's the biggest in the slate, 2.16. I don't think the Dodgers are a remedy to subdue that number. I agree with you. The Dodger power, especially the lefty power, looks really legit today. We definitely want that game to be clean as far as the weather-wise, because I want to play some Dodgers as well too. Catchers, we have a discounted Gary Sanchez. Well, what up with that?
Yeah, he's cheap a lot of places. I was doing salary tax today on HQ, and I agree. Like, he's cheap in some places. Like Yahoo, he's really cheap. Mm-hmm. He hits sinkers very well. Chirinos uses his sinkers a ton, so I certainly don't mind getting to Gary Sanchez today. What is up with Christian Vasquez being one of the highest priced catchers on the slate? I just that kind of stuff always blows my mind. But
at least Mitch Garver's good. Like, Mitch Garver is super expensive always too, but at least he's good. Like, I don't
hit home runs. It's crazy.
He had another one earlier today off of Jason Vargas, by the way, callback. You're not playing Christian Vasquez, I assume. How many Boston stacks do you have to make? Did you say, screw it, let's play Vasquez, because nobody else is doing it?
I can make 150 and I probably wouldn't have Vasquez.
Fair enough.
You're paying up for all the Red Sox bats. Like, is he really the guy you want to pay up for?
No, of course
not. I think that's the biggest issue. As far as catcher goes, I always like to pay down a catcher, so I like Yan Gomes. We've already kind of talked about Washington a lot today since we got started, so I don't mind going all the way down just punting with Luke Malle or Andrew Knapp. Those guys are fine for me. You know, I'm always the guy that punts catcher, so those guys never really hurt my feelings. Viloria, I guess that's how you say his name, from Kansas City. If you're looking for cheap guy, he's going to get a lot of playing time now with Maldonado gone. He's a lefty facing Ivan Nova. But yeah, Yan Gomes seems like the guy, like, in that range, like, should have plenty of RBI potential here up against Brooks and that Baltimore bullpen.
Yeah, cash game perspective, I'm probably going to get to Yan. And, you know, being on the road, locked in with those nine innings, you can almost – I know he's batting ninth, which, of course, he's in the AL, so that doesn't really matter so much. But, you know, he's going to get his four at-bats. Like, that's – I mean, I assume that they do well enough where he gets four at-bats, so it doesn't really matter if he's batting seventh or ninth. You know, really ambitious to expect a fifth. That's probably not going to happen. But I'll take four at-bats on the cheap against Baltimore. Brooks in that bullpen. Again, Brooks probably only goes, like, three or four innings, depending on how many – how efficient he may or may not be through the first few innings for himself. And, you know, I'm okay with Sanchez just because he's fairly cheap. And that's it. That's it for catcher. Talk to me about his first base today.
Yeah, like always, first base is pretty loaded. There's a ton of options here. Again, the Dodgers, Muncy and Peterson. I like using Muncy at second base. I like using Peterson in the outfield. But if you don't want to, that's fine. I like to save a little bit of money here with Matt Adams. I liked Zimmerman. Like, you were able to save a lot of money with Ryan Zimmerman. Without Zimmerman being in the lineup, I think that you could save some money here with Matt Adams. I don't hate playing either of these Dodgers at first base if that's the way that you want to play them. There are some cheap second basemen, so if you want to play Muncy at first base and play one of the cheap second basemen, that's fine. But there's a lot of good options here. Jose Abreu up against Danny Duffy, he's cheaper. He has some upside. You know, it's kind of the guys that I'm really focusing on. Like, I could talk about five other guys, but those are the guys that I'm really focusing on.
So Roth updated his weather about 30 minutes ago or so. I'm not sure if you've seen the update or not.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to have to reconstruct all my teams.
I just went ahead and dropped it in chat. This is as of 4:00 Central Time. Basically, we went on air. So this is what we have. Also, I dropped the link. I'm not going to sit here and read it to everybody, and I'm sure you can see it in chat as well. But just to give you the color coding, orange, yellow in Boston, orange, yellow in Baltimore, orange, yellow in Philadelphia, and orange, yellow in New York. So basically, if you're playing on the East Coast, you know, it's dicey. This is not going to be fun. Ross not going to be having a good time. He'll be in full tilt mode during crunch time. Again, you're definitely going to want to check into that today. 6:15, they follow us on the East Coast. Thank you guys all. I have DeLock and Roth. I'll tell you what's going down weather-wise. And, of course, you guys should be following Roth as well on Twitter. He even updates stuff after lock as things are going on. But I think all those games basically have a tip at what? They're all 7 o'clock on the dot or 7:05, right? So, oh, boy, it's going to be a scramble for sure making lineups. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't like seeing all that orange. But, you know, again, we're going to talk about the players under the assumption that they're going to play. But, you know, if Roth does not give it the all clear – man, I'm with you. I'm tilting. I'm not enjoying the prospect of losing Washington potentially, or the Dodgers potentially, and even Boston. It's gonna, and then the slate will be so condensed, obviously. All right. Well, just talk about that for a second. Like, say, what's your strategy for tournaments there? Like, my general thought process is like, you don't want to one off a guy in a you know, a questionable weather game. It's all or nothing, right?
Yeah, so like here I am looking at the Dodgers. I have Dodger stacks on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Is my main lineup on both sites. Like I'll build a few lineups, but my main lineup right now that I'm entering all the single entry stuff, all the high dollar stuff, right now has Dodgers. So, right now my idea is I'm gonna watch Kevin Roth on crunch time and you know see kind of what he has to say around like 6:30, 6:45. To give myself, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to make a decision. I've kind of already played around with what I'm going to do if I'm not going to play the Dodgers bats. I really like Kansas City today. And that game has really good weather for hitters, like Roth has highlighted. And, you know, Ray Clevenger, Kansas City stack is certainly something that you can pull off.
Yeah, I like KC too, except for the – I mean, I want to pick on Nova for sure, and it's hot there, obviously, but – my issue is, like, one of their best hitters, Bonacy, of course, is not playing. The names aren't very fun to click on, are they, in Kansas City? But I hear you.
I think they're really fun to click on. They're really cheap. They're, like I said, if you're wanting to play, like, a Clevenger Ray, like, you know, Dozier is a guy that has a ton of power. Soler has a ton of power. Alex Gordon has upside. Whit Merrifield can steal bases. You know, he has a ton of upside. You know, Cuthbert is a guy, like, you never feel good about clicking his name, but he's cheap. Nicky Lopez is cheap. Bubba Starling is cheap. Lucas Duda is good for 3 strikeouts. I'm going to wrap it around with the catcher to save some money at catcher. Like, there's plenty of ways that you could build a Kansas City stack.
I've definitely punted with Lucas Duda this year multiple times, and I don't think it worked out once. I'm fairly certain. I've gotten all the strikeouts. And then, to my knowledge, it's a, you know, we say strikeouts are king. That's for pitchers. It's not good when your hitters are striking out. He's terrible, isn't he? What happened to Lucas Duda? He used to be good, or at least have some power.
Yeah, he still has power. He just can't the ball.
Well, I mean, he crushes like the, you know, batting practice, but I don't think that's worth anything either. Let's jump to the old Keystone position, second base. What do you have for me?
Yeah, a lot of cheap options at second base today. Obviously, if you want to pay up, you know, we talked about Max Muncy a bunch. You know, obviously that game has weather that we're concerned about now. Jason Kipnis is really cheap at 3,600 fish, and Spencer Turnbull, he's batting fourth. You know, he's a really good option here. Going on the whole lines of Kansas City, Nicky Lopez is 3K. He's a guy that makes some sense here. You know, outside of that, those are the two guys that I like if I'm not playing Muncy. DJ LeMahieu's terrible against sinkers, so I really don't like him today. I liked Howie Kendrick against that Brooks Baltimore bullpen if that game plays. I think Howie Kendrick's a really interesting like pay up today, to be contrarian, because I highly doubt he's gonna be one of the lowest owned, you know, players from this Washington team because of his price.
Why don't they play him on the rig? Does he not play well in the field these days? Is that the problem?
He's getting old, man.
I know he's old, but like he's hitting the ball hard this year.
I know, but where are you gonna play him? Like, you're gonna sit Zimmerman, Matt Adams every day? Like, he's not able to play like second base. Like Dozier's at second base. I guess they could kind of switch off, but
yeah.
Turner and Anthony Rendon play the other two positions. Like Kendrick can't play the outfield, so
Dozier's been better too of late too. But like, it's not like Zimmerman's a spring chicken. He's kind of old. You know, he's always old too, or always old. He's always hurting. But I guess that's a good answer. I was thinking he would play this like entire series, but I guess that does make sense. Other guys that kind of pop as far as second base, you mentioned Kipnis, and you know the splits are pretty dramatic for Turnbull. Like he's pretty he's very vulnerable against lefties, so for sure you can roll out Kipnis. You talked about, you know, this is one of my pivots. Like if things go awry, I'll just play some, you know, I like Trey Turner, we'll talk about him at shortstop, but I'll just pivot to Lindor. I don't mind Santana at first base, switch hitter on the left hand side there versus Turnbull as well. Better ballpark for lefties also. And Jose Ramirez is another guy that kind of a pivot. Like, Cleveland's kind of like my pivot stack on layaway if I need it, because you just load up on some lefties. Who else jumps out for us as far as second base? If you're not rostering Jesse Chavez, Kettle Marte, I don't mind that spend up at all. I think that works pretty solid. You talked about Merrifield and Lopez. Lopez I thought would hit a little higher in the lineup. I figured he'd hit like second or third, get some speed at the top with Modesty not playing, but he's actually drawing the sixth spot. If you need some salary today for whatever reason on DK or on fantasy draft, Yolmer Sanchez is super, super cheap. Not very good, but he's very cheap for what it's worth. Anything else here of note as far as second, or shall we move on and talk about the hot corner, good old third base?
Yeah, there, you know, there's so many cheap options, but you mentioned Marte. You know, if we start to see weather, you know, impact some of these big offenses, like, you know, Arizona's lineup is actually not bad today, and it's hot in Texas, so, you know, there's some upside. Even though we talked about Chavez, like Arizona is still a team that could get some run production here.
Third base, hot corner, what do you have for me?
You know, I just got to talking about Hunter Dozier. Like I said that I switched my extra survey to him being my contrarian play. Hoping he's still going to be under 10% owned. You know, it'd be interesting to see if like his ownership is a guy that, you know, starts to bump up. Like if people are not able to play like Devers and Rendon at the top, like obviously those two guys are in great spots here. Aaron Sanchez with Devers and you know, Baltimore with Brooks and that bullpen with Anthony Rendon. So if that doesn't work out, you know, you have Jose Ramirez against Turnbull. He's starting to get going a little bit more. Jake Lamb against Jesse Chavez. You know, we kind of talked about that just a second ago. Yeah. You know, if you want to save some money, Vlad Guerrero's down there at 3,400 facing Erod, batting second. Like, he's okay, but I'd rather pay up at third base today. I think it's a good pay-up spot.
Apparently, Roth is a little bit optimistic as far as the Red Sox. Obviously, still a couple hours out, but he just tweeted out, thanks to our chat, despite how terrible it is right now in Boston, and it's truly it's a downpour, he likes what he's seeing upstream and likes the chances of them playing at some point, so... there you go. Obviously, these things are fluid. Situations could change, but hey, maybe we get a Boston game. And yeah, for sure, Devers is super expensive. Sanchez like used to be a decent pitcher, but that's just not happening these days. He's kind of fell off the table. Don't love lefties in Boston for you know, for power, for homers, but it's great for doubles, singles, and triples, which I'm good with as well too. For the stack collectively, look, they have a team total of seven, so and it's kind of a bit of an overspend. I prefer Rendon, you know, just you know 1v1. But again, who knows what's going down there weather-wise. Anything of note? Anything else that you talked about Arizona, but Jake Lamb, I'm not sure if you mentioned Lamb. I was kind of reading that tweet. But I think he's cheap in other spots, too. He's a little bit cheaper. I put 4K on DK, around 8K or so on Fantasy Draft. I think, is it FanDuel or Yahoo where he's kind of cheap? Don't mind him coming back from injury, positive ballpark. It's hot there. The wind is blowing in, but, like, we still don't know what's going on as far as Texas. This is the last year. It's not even worth figuring out at this point. Last year, the stadium. It used to be like a jet stream, but I think they fixed that jet stream. But long story short, I don't care about the wind blowing in Texas. I imagine you don't either.
No, I don't think they fixed it at all. But
oh,
I've been saying that for years. Like, you could say you fixed it, but that, you know what creates that? I don't think the way that they tried to fix it really could. It could have helped maybe, but I don't think they fixed it. Like, there's just too many games in Texas where runs are scored at really high clips, and obviously. Pitching has something to do with that, but like there's just times when you're like, you know, yeah, I don't personally think that they fixed it completely.
Yeah, I mean, it's
wind,
above my
wind blowing opinion. It never bothers me there.
Yeah, that's basically my conclusion as well too. I don't care if the wind's blowing in Texas. Shortstop, you got Lindor or Turner at the top?
Yeah, if Turner plays, I really like Turner. If that game starts to get into weather issues. I like going down to Lindor. I think they're both, you know, really great options. I think Xander Bogaerts is a really great option, and he's going to come in at lower ownership than both of the guys that we just talked about, Turner and Lindor. So I like paying down as well. Didi's was really cheap today. He's 3,600 against Trino. So if you want to save some money, like, he's certainly in play there. So I certainly don't mind him. It really just all depends about roster construction. Is shortstop a position you can spend money, or is shortstop a position that you need to save some money today?
Yeah, I mean, for me, obviously, weather pending, and I hate to keep on saying that, but that's just the deal. It's one of Lindor or Turner. I feel like it's a spend-up spot for me. I don't mind VR as a save against Fetty, but I'm not terribly enthused about it. One more lefty as far as the Dodgers. You got Corey Seager against Pavetta. That's more of a stack than a one-off as far as I'm concerned. And that's the same deal with Bogarts. Like, I just prefer Bogarts in a stack as opposed to a one-off, especially if that game is dicey as far as the weather. We talked about what my sort of strategy is. I don't want to one-off a guy in a weather situation. I want to either, like, fully take advantage of it either way. If it goes or if it doesn't go, as per, you know, depending on what lineup I may have at either a stack or just kind of a fade. Anybody else here at shortstop that's kind of a worth a head nod or worth mentioning? Or, well, we talked about, you know, Richards, and I think Richards is going to be fairly popular. How do we feel about San Diego as kind of a leverage play? If Tatis has plenty of pop, Machado's got plenty of pop, obviously. Richards isn't like this great pitcher. He's fine, and the ballpark's not ideal to hit, you know, hit homers. But these guys can do it no matter where they're playing.
Yeah, I don't mind Tatis. I don't mind Machado. I think they're fine. Reyes is fine. Like, they all the power guys. You know, Richards does give up a ton of fly balls and a ton of hard contact. So that obviously sits really well with Tatis, who has a 52% ground ball rate against right-handed pitching. So, like, you know, obviously Tatis is going to benefit from a fly ball pitcher. It's just more of like, the ballpark is the biggest issue here, you know, for San Diego. And, yeah, they have the power to hit it out of anywhere. So, you know, I don't mind looking at, you know, those four or five guys, you know, Renfro, Reyes, Machado, Tatis.
Let's jump to the outfield. We're going to knock out some outfielders, and they're going to give us some stacks you like. You're going to give us some dudes that are going to homer. We're going to take a peek as far as the expert survey. If we have time, maybe we'll pull up the old Line IVHQ and take a look at the ownership percentage. We'll take a peek as far as what's going down as far as umpire data. And then we'll knock out some questions in the chat 15 minutes or so before we step aside and get out of here. Give me your favorite outfielders. And once again, it's like, well, assuming the weather is good. At the top, I like Soto. I like just watching inside a good bit. Locked in for 9 versus Baltimore, where it's basically a bullpen game. And they have a horrendous bullpen. Nice, you know, obviously it's a great ballpark to hit in as well. Well, what's your take as far as outfielders at the top?
Bellinger is in a great spot against Pavetta, depending on the weather. Jock Peterson, Bellinger, Soto, Betts, Peterson, Martinez. If I'm looking to spend up, you know, Benintendi, Aaron Judge is a guy that could potentially fly under the radar today. Maybe, like, I'm seeing him get pretty good projected ownership, but I think it's more he's 4,500, and it's interesting to see, because I don't think the Yankees are going to be too terribly popular as a team. So are people just playing Judge a lot as one-offs? But yeah, if I'm in that like 45 plus range, it's Judge, it's Benintendi, it's Peterson, it's Martinez, Betts, Soto, Bellinger. I don't think I missed anybody.
We saw Jock at the hook yesterday. That was after he banged out a homer. He's still too cheap over on FanDuel as well. Like, he's slowly creeping up. I think he's like 2.8 now, maybe 2.9. Again, there is a shot that he gets the hook if a lefty comes in. That's just what can happen. You know, game dependent, depending on how the situation's going down. But you know, he still has plenty of power. He's still plenty cheap. And we talked about Pavetta and his issues with yielding homers. Adam Eaton, I'm good with him against the. You know, he's reasonably priced. One more of those Washington guys, I'm all over. Give me three dudes that are going to homer. Tell me who your favorite stacks are, and then we'll take a peek as far as what's going down in the old expert survey.
Yeah, I do think that's something you need to worry about with Jock today. They do have four lefties in the Philly bullpen. It's very, very mixed bullpen. But I think two or three of those lefties are guys that they use in closer games. So if Pavetta is getting pounded, we might see that, you know, they're just going to throw out some guys here. As far as the home runs go, I'm going to take Muncy to homer at the top. Give me Hunter Dozier in the middle, and give me Didi as a cheap home run today. He profiles really well in this spot, so I like that. As far as stacks go, I love the Dodgers and the Royals today. They're my teams that I'm really building around. Washington's good. They're in a great spot. Like just kind of teetering back and forth with Washington and the Dodgers, depending on weather and just kind of if we're going to get an in-game delay that could potentially wash the Dodgers game and Washington's going to wait to start in that game, in the Baltimore game, I personally probably start leaning towards Washington more than the Dodgers.
Thankfully, the game's in Baltimore, so the game is not in the hands of Washington, how they call games or don't call games or when they decide to throw the tarp on or not.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, when you said Washington, I said, oh, no, this game's in Washington. I'm like, oh, that's right. No, it's Baltimore. Okay, yeah. All right. Let's take a peek as far as what's going down in the expert survey. You partook along with Meansy and Big T. Favorite cash game hitters, obviously. Well, you talked about the Dodgers you like. Bellinger, Matt Adams, he seems too cheap, depending on where you're shopping, especially too cheap on FanDuel for what it's worth. And Big T's talking about Kipnis, those lefties, you know, against Turnbull, a really, really solid play for tournaments. Well, another Dodger for you is Muncy. Lindor looks like an awesome play. Mr. Smile, again, one more lefty against Turnbull, potential jack in the bag every single time he goes out there. Means he likes himself some Mookie Betts. Everybody agrees as far as Clevenger. They have Gerrit Cole for tournament play, and, you know, we had this conversation again. Feel free to chime in. Tell me why Robbie Ray is a better tournament play than Gerrit Cole.
Robbie Ray is still going to have lower ownership than Cole. Like, Cole's still going to push 20 plus percent ownership here. So I still think that Ray is an interesting money save. He's facing a Texas team that's striking out a ton against left-handed pitching. So I highlighted more in the expert survey. He's my long answer for pitcher today too, just because I wanted to really pound how much I like Robbie Ray today. So I don't think Gerrit Cole is a bad option, but like Cole's still projected to be like the third highest projected owned, you know, pitcher on the slate. So like you're not getting any ownership discount on him today.
Yourself and Big T both like Trevor Richards as a cheap pitcher. It means he was talking about, you know, jumping in the dumpster with Jesse Chavez, which I think he's in play. I think it's don't expect what you got yesterday from Sparkman. Obviously that was an outlier and an anomaly and all that, but he doesn't need to put that up. But 10 points would be perfectly fine. There's your Didi Gregorius as a salary saver. Big T, another lefty with Jake Bowers. Jake Bowers, did he crack the lineup? Yes, he's batting sixth today. And Meansy, a righty for the Dodgers. How about that with A.J. Pollock? And I assume Pollock's in there, right? Is Pollock? Yeah, he's batting fifth today. Anything else of note that we can kind of – there's, of course, more to it. We don't want to read the entire thing. But the player you're afraid of having little to no exposure to, yeah, Gerrit Cole. And that's kind of where I'm at too. Because I don't think I'm going to have a ton, depending on now if weather kind of forces me on to Cole or if I have the money for it, by all means.
Like the weather games, like the pitchers aren't really being affected. Like, don't really like the pitchers in New York, don't really like the pitchers in Philly, don't really like the pitchers in Baltimore. You know, you can make an argument for Erod, you can make an argument for Herman. Speaking of Thunder, I don't know if you heard that, it was really loud.
Yeah, I did hear that.
So, like, the games that are being affected by weather really aren't the games that we're really kind of worried about with our pitching. So that's actually kind of nice.
We didn't mention any Astros, I don't think, for what it's worth, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, Springer, Altuve, Bregman, you know, Jordan Alvarez, there's plenty of pop on that team. And we're not necessarily running away from Felix Pena. So just kind of keep that in mind or so, especially if this slate gets condensed more so.
The thing is, like, with the Astros really quick is just, like, Pena is really good against righties. Like, that's one of the reasons that you like to use him against right-handed heavy teams. And, like, Brantley and Alvarez are perfectly fine here. But the righties, like, I don't think I'm going to play any of the Houston righties, even if we get some weather.
Just pulled it up here on the Plate IQ. They probably can see the screen, but I was curious to just kind of back up what you're saying. 234 WOBA, 131 ISO, and 173 plate appearances this season. A K percentage of 26% as well, and a ground ball rate of 51% and change. So, yeah, noted. All right, let's see if we have – we're going to knock out some questions. They're starting to load up there in chat. We'll address those in just a second. If you guys are on YouTube, feel free to ask your question. D-Train will grab them, throw them here in the RG chat. Also, like and subscribe. That's cool. We'd appreciate that. And if you guys are just on the Roto-Grinders chat, ask your questions too. We got 8 minutes or so before we step aside and get out of here. I do want to pull up if we still have the screen share going here. Let's see what we have. I'm going to refresh and see what we have as far as ownership for pitchers. And again, like, if weather might really screw up this ownership. So understand it is totally fluid. But as of right now, Clevenger clearly the most expensive, the most popular guy. And yeah, so we have Erod being fairly popular. And again, if that game just blows up as far as weather, that 25% has to go somewhere. And I imagine that'll probably bump up, you know, Clevenger, Richards, and Cole, and Paddock, and all the guys around him. Anything kind of jump out to you? 13% is the projected ownership of Robbie Ray. Is that tasty for you or what?
Yeah, I like that. I already said that I think that he's a nice pivot off of Clevenger. We're seeing Clevenger push 30-plus, 40-plus now almost. So I think that, you know, especially if, like, Herman is a guy that, like, was already low projected ownership, and he was one of the guys that could potentially be impacted with Erod. I just think a lot of the Erod people will try to find that $400 and play Clevenger. So I think a lot of the Erod ownership will go to Clevenger too. Yeah, Richards is just going to be a chalk SP2. Like, it is what it is. Like, you know,
yeah,
nothing else to say about it.
Umpire data, as far as the extremes, we have one extreme hitters umpire. That's Gerrit Cole and Felix Pena. One extreme pitchers umpire. That is Fetty versus Brooks there in Baltimore. I think we had a pitcher's umpire in Miami. Yeah, with Paddock and Richards. Not extreme, just kind of note net. The only extremes are the two I mentioned. Questions are loading up in chat, so let's go ahead and address those. This is a tough question, and I don't know how to answer it. They're both really, really good. I imagine you're going to say Bellinger versus Soto.
Bellinger. Again, I will say that we just got in talking about it. With Dodgers having an in-game delay and Washington waiting, like, I could easily go Soto if that starts to happen.
Danny Duffy is an SB2. Would you do Duffy-Chavez pairing? I don't know if you need that much salary.
No. Even if you stack the Dodgers, you don't need that much salary.
That seems a little unnecessary. And we don't love Duffy. Like, Duffy's fine, but, like, we talked about the difference between lefties and righties. You know, the White Sox don't strike out nearly as much against left-handers as they do against righties. Still not a very good lineup, but what are the chances of Duffy weaseling his way into one of your lineups?
Yeah, I'm only playing three teams, and I don't think I'll play Duffy. I'm probably going to play two Richards teams, and I'm really liking the idea of building a Robbie Ray Clevenger team.
Miami bats are too cheap on DK. Do we need to play them? I say no. I think Paddock just shuts them down for six innings. There's no chance I'm playing Marlins outside of, like, if, like, one guy makes things work or whatever. But that, even then, I don't want to do it.
Royals are too cheap. I'd much rather play the Royals.
Yeah, I don't see any reason. I know the Marlins scored 13 runs yesterday, but Paddock is legit. He's, like, good, and Allen is still, you know, a project. I know he's a bit of a prospect, but yeah, I wouldn't look at what happened yesterday. Let's see. Ray and Herman is a pairing. I love that for tournaments. I'm good with that.
I don't hate it. I would much rather play Ray and Clevenger.
Do we think Trout will start? I guess there's a chance that Trout can just DH. You think he's going to start, right? We don't know. We're just guessing. But you
know, I said I don't think he's going to play.
I'm a terrible listener. That's why. Okay, yeah. That's why you're saying the matchup was better with the assumption that Trout is not going to play. And this is kind of like the, you know, the IL is, what, 10 days or so, and it's been, what, 3 or 4 days? They're almost kind of sort of creeping up on the point where sometimes they just throw him on the IL. I don't know if that's going to happen with Trout necessarily. Usually just say, all right, screw it. He's either going to play or he's going to land on the IL. You don't want to, you know, lose a bench spot for like 7 or 8 games necessarily. But it is Mike Trout, so maybe they make the exception for him. It's going to give him an extra day or two. We shall see. Stay tuned on that. It is weird the way the slate's lining up because it's a 9-gamer, and that Houston LA the Angels game starts 2 hours after the 8th game, which it's almost like a doubleheader slate, which is always, you know, if you don't have anybody in that Houston Angels game, you're currently winning, is, you know, it's not going
to
go up.
You just hope that game kind of is mediocre, 4-5, no home runs, some errors.
Why is Springer and Altuve more expensive today than they were yesterday? The Altuve price, they've been having the fix for a while. For whatever reason, he's been too cheap. Maybe they just kind of like fixed it. I have not mastered the DK algorithm. I think of late they've been valuing recent play more so than normally. But I don't know. Have you cracked the code of the DK algorithm? Because I haven't.
Nope.
Okay.
I try to find cracks in it every day. That's all.
You're going to play one of these guys for a tournament, Lindor or Turner? Love them both.
Yeah, I like Turner a lot, but if the weather is scaring you off of it, Lindor is perfectly fine to play instead. If you want to play the safer route, like play Lindor.
I mean, my answer is probably like it depends. If you have a bunch of Washington guys, play Turner. If you have a bunch of Cleveland guys, play Lindor. Just kind of stack it up as a one-off. I mean, they're kind of similar plays as one-offs. And, you know, Cleveland, like we talked about, you know, at least that should play weather-wise. And if you're only going to play just Turner from that Washington game, there's no reason to take on that risk of a potential rainout. Again, who knows what's going down there weather-wise. Roth will give you the best guess as far as what's going down on crunch time. Coming on like in 15 minutes or so, they take you guys all the way up the lock. The 185, minus 185 for Houston today, they're asking if that suggests Trout sits. And, you know, we see this in basketball a lot where, like, certain players, certain studs can move the needle. How much does Trout, like, playing or not playing move the needle, like in baseball? Like, I don't – it's I'm sure it's some, but how much? I don't know.
I think it can move it a little bit, but I think it's more to do with Gerrit Cole pitching than it has Trout playing or not. Like, Gerrit Cole against Felix Pena, who do you favorite?
I think Gerrit Cole's a better pitcher than Felix Pena, I'm fairly certain.
I'm pretty sure that Gerrit Cole's contract's a lot higher than Felix Pena's.
Okay, so I know you like the Dodgers today. It's going to put you to the test because they're asking about Russell Martin, the worst Dodger. Any interest?
I didn't have him in any lineups. How cheap? Is he cheap?
He's the same price. Actually, he's a little bit more expensive than Yan Gomes.
I'm playing Yan Gomes.
Even if you're stacking L.A., I guess you're stacking L.A. with like five other guys.
Yeah, like I don't necessarily always have to have like a five man stack either. So,
why is Freeze playing today? What's going on here?
I know it's so weird. I don't know why he's playing. He's not the guy that I wanted in there.
He almost never starts against righties. He'll just start against lefties and get the hook at some point. That's interesting. Not really sure why that's happening.
I wanted Verdugo. Like why is Verdugo not in there? He was one of the cheaper guys. Like, I like the Pollock's in there. Pollock's cheaper. Like, we didn't talk about him when we were talking about outfielders, but, like, you know, Pollock's the guy that I really like today. 3,800. He's been hitting the ball really well since he's come back from the IL.
Which one? Okay, so Arizona bats, are they chalky? No, I don't think so.
No, you know, if you do have premium, we added today the team ownership, team average projected ownership. So you can go on to premium and look at that. It's really cool. It's right next to where projected ownership is. And like, you can see that Arizona as a team, their team average ownership projection, is not that high today.
Where is that at? I'm not aware of this.
It's where premium is. It's right next to where projected ownership is. It's right next to its TM own. It's the team average projected ownership. It just got installed today. It's new.
Shout out to Jamito and his team. There you go. Any Jack in a bag picks? I think it's either Turner or Lindor.
Yeah, maybe Whit Merrifield.
I'm okay with that. Speaking of Whit Merrifield, we'll step aside and get out here on that. Whit Merrifield or Jorge Soler?
Oh, that one's close. Isn't Soler a little bit cheaper? Like, I'm stacking the middle towards the end of that Kansas City team so I can get the upside plus the value. So I'm probably going to have Soler more than I have Merrifield today.
Soler's got like 25 homers, by the way. Like 25 of the quietest homers we've ever – like nobody even talks about him. But all right, we got to step aside. We got to get out of here, Steve. We're making way for crunch time. Finish strong. Give me something that you want to hammer. Give me the point you want to hammer home. What's going down as far as the slate?
I think I already did, right? Like I hammered home the team projected ownership. Like I brought it to light to everybody. So if you're a premium member, make sure you check that out. If you're not a premium member, it's on sale for the rest of the season. Now's the time to check it out.
Less than 100 smackers. Anticlimactic then. I thought we were going to finish strong. We did not finish strong, unfortunately. He's Stevie. I'm Dean. Stay tuned for crunch time. Roth is all over the weather. You got Cardi. You got JSU talking the slate. We're out of here. Oh!